Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Well, I think I was just thinking to myself, I'm going to have to change up that commercial. But anyways, this is Natalie, also known as StarCast, here with the lovely Maya Moon and Star Priestess Candy Ranson is already in the chat room waiting for people to come in. This is a really nice topic. It's a comforting one, as a matter of fact, and it's this is part one tonight, but it's comforting. What do you do? What rituals do you do to soothe or calm yourselves? Sometimes it's food. Sometimes you go to a movie, and all about how you do it. Sometimes people do things and they don't even realize it, I think. But anyways, I'm going to let Stars Maya Moon start this off, and then we'll continue on. So Maya Moon, it's all yours.
Okay, well, hello, everyone. As always, we're so glad to have you, and I'm very glad to be here. And I'm glad to be here with Miss Natalie, of course. And I agree, this is a great topic, and we chose to make it for 2 weeks because there's so much to say. As far as what my feelings, which I get my information mainly from my guides, and that is that there's a lot of positivity in the ability to self-comfort, self-soothe. And so there's a lot of positive, but we can also, like you were saying, Natalie, we can also do things unconsciously or subconsciously, and sometimes they're not always serving, they're not always the best. Food is a good example. We've all heard of comfort foods, and there's nothing wrong with indulging here and there food. I could think of so many things that we reach for that, they can do the job. They can soothe us or comfort us or, calm our nerves if that's what it is we need, but they may not necessarily be good for us in the long term or the long run. So it's a good chance to stop and think about what our habits are and do we have any, and if we don't, we should be cultivating a way of self-soothing. For anyone that's ever been a parent, that's one of the things that we learn. I know I am a parent, and one of the things that I was taught and learned both by my mother and my pediatrician, and Natalie, you may have been taught that as well, is that the baby has to learn to fall asleep at some point on their own, maybe not as a newborn, but were you taught that eventually we can't pat them or keep giving them bottles or whatever our routine is, that they have to learn to self-soothe, which just means putting themselves to sleep and learning how to get comfortable and go back to sleep as opposed to constantly being fussed with. Were you raised and taught that at all when you had your
I don't know how I was raised. We all know about my childhood. But, like, with my son, he cried. He was early. He was 7 weeks early. So, his nervous system was quite touchy and everything. And by the time I would get up, I'd hear him, like, every hour and a half, I get the bottle ready, I change him, or sometimes I would change him after he fell asleep. And so what happened is he got into a routine of doing that. He'd fall asleep because he knew, I get my bottle and I'm going to go to sleep. About 6 or 7 weeks old, he stayed asleep for the first time. And I mean, I jumped up and I thought, oh my God, what happened? And there he was. He was in his crib, kind of making these little sounds and everything, and it was the sweetest thing. And I thought to myself, now I wonder why he didn't start crying and why did he finally fall asleep? Well, like for him, it was because he needed to grow a little bit more. He was just so sensitive. The phone would wake him up and all that kind of stuff. But I remember with my granddaughter, my daughter-in-law would have to drive her around the circle to get her to stop crying and get her to sleep. I'd hold her. She'd go to sleep right away. And it was like she was always listening, fine-tuning herself, like, oh, if they put me down, I'm going to wake up. And sure enough, you put her down, and she'd pop back up again. And so we had to just decide, especially with her, that we couldn't do that because she was going to depend upon that all the time. And that's true. They do depend upon that. But having a baby that's 7 weeks early, now, you know, I was a first-time mother, so I didn't have any training whatsoever, so I had no clue what to do, no clue at all. And but I got through it, of course, and, you know, after he was about 3 months old or so, it was easy, but he didn't even like being in the playpen watching TV. I would put him in front of the TV. We had this little tiny house. He didn't even like that. And he would be asleep, in the afternoon, and my friend would call, and the phone would wake him up. And, you know, I just cringed because I thought, oh, my. He was so sensitive to everything. But then gradually it worked out okay. But Jada, my granddaughter, we had to do a lot with her, walk her all over the place. And, you know, and like I said, my daughter-in-law would drive her all around the circle that's by their house. And but eventually they do learn to fall asleep. But you have to be careful. That isn't carried on when they get to be a little older. Because they're, like, if you lay with them, they expect that. And then they get really upset. As they get older, they figure it out. But, yeah, but for myself, I have no clue. I don't remember. I remember riding my little two-wheeler with training wheels. And I remember a little bit when we lived in an apartment. I had a little bike, a little tricycle. I can see it. I remember it. But anything, I don't remember if I cried or anything. If I did, my aunt was there to help because my mother went to work after 6 weeks, back to work. So I'm sure my Aunt Marge was there to comfort me. And really being an only child, you'd think, oh, she was spoiled rotten. No, I was not. Not at all. Not at all. So, but, you know, talking about comfort things, for me, I'm trying to think. Well, after I had my son, that's my first thought of a comfort thing. The gal came in and she said, "Can I get you something?" I said, "Yeah, I want a ham sandwich and I want a bottle of Werner's ginger ale." Now, Werner's was developed in Detroit. The plant was there. So I was in Detroit, so we had it right there. And she came in and she says, "Well, order's up." And I was so happy because I didn't have my son right away because he was in the preemie nursery. I didn't get him until the night before I was to take him home, and we were in the hospital then 5 days. So I was so thrilled to have that ham sandwich and a Werner's, and then I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would do. Now, of course, I have my own thing that I do, but I don't want to say it all right now. I'm going to kind of give it back to you, Maya. Do you have anything, like when you were little, that you'd like to hold on to that would make you feel really good, like a blanket or, as we call them, our cozers?
Right.
I didn't have that, but did you?
Yes. Well, I didn't figure that we would remember ourselves. I figured more we would remember our kids or grandkids. I can't remember myself. I can remember having, you know, a special toy called a Pinga Bing that I used for comforting.
Yeah, it's strange. You know, I think when I was probably in junior high, music has always been my thing. And even when I work on the magazine, if I'm working on the computer with Tony, I've got my headphones on with my music going. Always. I mean, my son says to me, "How can you do all of this and listen to music at the same time?" I said, "Well, it makes me feel good." So, see, that's a feel-good thing that I do. But I do other things, too. But I suppose people have their own little, even as adults, even older people, I bet you they have something that they do or listen to or go to that makes them feel good. again. And like you said, I think it's important that you find something like that. I can feel good really easy. Sometimes I'll give myself a little piece of, you know, the little Hershey's chocolates, the dark chocolates that come in the little small squares. I'll have one of those after dinner. That's my little treat. Sometimes. I don't have them every day, but sometimes. And so food can be a comfort thing, too. Absolutely, I think. And I think you mentioned in the description that, you know, doing hobbies or going on walks. I used to crochet all the time. I haven't done that in a long time. And I used to do cross stitch, which probably soothed me more than I knew when I was back up in Michigan. But isn't it strange how certain things, if you're out of sorts and you go to that, you just gravitate. Sometimes you don't even think about it. That's what I do. I don't think about it.
Right. I think we do a lot of things and we don't even always know the purpose. I mean, we hear a lot now about dietary and, you know, things and things of that nature, how we're fulfilling a need. And, of course, we hear that a lot with drugs, too, abuse of drugs, that we're filling a need, and in a way we're self-soothing or self-medicating. So I think we've come a long way from 50 years ago, where we didn't think about it very much. But it all really, to me, it comes down to the same thing. And even today, I don't think we're necessarily always, you know, conscious. Like you said, we might needlepoint, we might crochet, we might read, we might do certain things. And even though I think they can be, you know, they can work as two different, you know, two alternative things for us. I mean, they can be something that's just a pleasure that we enjoy. But also, I do believe that they can also be a way of soothing, of you know, self-soothing, of calming us, and so on and so forth. But we're just not, we're not putting it together. We're not thinking of it in that respect. So we're not saying, oh, you know, I'm going to get a book now so I can calm myself down. Now, and of course, that's why we said we would make this just into two shows. And I know already I'm jumping around because there's a lot to say. But then you have the whole other spectrum of people. And I would say that I'm one of those that I have a whole deliberate, and I'm sure you do too, Natalie. I have a deliberate agenda that I use that is intended to help me shift my energy, my way of thinking, and so on and so forth. Now, I would say that's to soothe or to shift my energy to a higher energy, but that's definitely deliberate. I have an agenda. I have a strong intention with that, and I'm seeking guidance when I do that and help. But then there's other times when, like, you know, you mentioned, and I mentioned, where we're doing it and we're not thinking about it. And I think, too, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think it's sometimes hard to keep up in today's world, because so many of the things that we're told, especially, I mean, I'm, you know, I was born in 58. I don't mind sharing that at all. So I've seen a lot in my time. And, you know, I've seen so much where, you know, it was good for you, now it's bad for you, now it's good for you, now it's bad for you. So and it may be legitimate that they keep finding new information, but it makes it difficult too, because some of the things, or many of the things that I believe a lot of us look to for comforting and for, you know, various things, now we're told that those are bad for us and not good for our health and not good for this and can cause, you know, everything causes cancer. And I'm not trying to make light of that. Cancer is a serious, horrible disease. So I don't mean to offend anyone by making light of the disease, but it does seem that they get carried away. Do you believe that? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I was thinking about some things when you were talking. You know, I have this this blanket, and what I do, I catch myself doing it. Now that I think about it, I probably do it a lot. I don't even realize it. I always have it on the top of my bed. I mean, that's where my cat, everybody knows about Muji. And Muji is a great source of comfort for me. And you have your dog, so you know they are in tune. So if something bothers me during the day or whatever it is, for me, I'm like you. I sit down and I'm just really quiet. That is my source of comfort for me, because I can be a basket case, and then if I sit there really quiet and just stop thinking, and it's really hard to do for me, and trying to figure out what I'm going to do, if I just sit there really quiet and say I'm really upset about something, within a matter of minutes, I get up and it's all gone. So whatever I'm tapping into, I believe it's God for me, it takes it away, or it just makes me feel better, because that's where I go. I sit on the couch and my cat is right there. Mushy's right there with me always.
Oh,
and
I see what you're saying. Okay. You're saying that your cat, the energy is being kind of transferred.
Yes.
And so that few minutes or whatever. Okay, I missed that part. Your phone broke up, or my connection broke up, it could be. But I missed that part. Okay, now that, oh, go on. So, yeah, I love that.
This is a mini blanket, and my husband would have the Mickey one, but the mini one, sometimes when it's cold here in South Carolina, which is, you know, not till like February, then I'll even wrap myself around. I just feel the comfort of that, and it just seems like everything is much better for me. But my cat really helps. He's a great source for me. And I don't call people usually when I'm upset. I just contain it all. I mean, if I got really bad, I would call Maya and, you know, help. But, I find that I have found ways to take care of that. And as a little girl, I would listen to the radio. And it didn't matter what happened to me during the day. That radio, listening to the rock and roll and all of that stuff, that was like, that was it for me. It was in my bedroom on the back of my bed there, you know, it was perfect. And, you know, we all know that I was alone a lot. So that was myself taking care of self. And I'm trying to think if there's really anything else, certain kind of foods. Not really. I'm not really, because back in, in the 82, when I got really ill, I stopped eating certain kinds of foods. I love barbecue foods, but I don't ever have them anymore. And they always made me feel good, because the smell, you know, smells can do that for you too.
Uh-huh. Right.
But sometimes,
right,
I think, you know, you're right. We do things and we don't even know that our routine, like after we get up. Oh, I know another thing for myself. I just thought of something. See, I can really talk here. I have my coffee. I start it up. I get dressed and everything and look in the mirror. Okay, you can pass for today because you're not going anywhere. And then I always get 3 squares of graham crackers and sometimes 1 pizzelle. That's a little Italian kind of thing if I have them. But 3 graham crackers, and I sit down with Muji on the arm of the chair, and I drink my coffee, and I just sit there and see what I get. That's very comforting. That's how I start my day, every single day. I don't miss that, you know, and I don't go away very much, so that's a real routine. And I think it really helps me internally, and it just helps my whole well-being, and I don't even think about the day. I just, you know, drink my coffee, and I'm rubbing the cat, and, you know, he's purring away really loud, and he rubs up against me, and he's just my source of, you know, he's my little man. I always call him my little man. So, you know, pets can do that for you easily. They can make you feel really, really good. But I think, like you said, you don't even think about it. It's just something that you do. And if you do it on a regular basis and it's working, don't stop. Don't stop. People can do, sometimes people will get, you know, they'll go someplace and they'll do something as a service for something that's just, you know, free. I'm going to give of myself today because that makes them feel good. So maybe a particular day of the week, they go to wherever and they volunteer because that makes them feel really good. And think if they did not do that, what would happen to them? Maybe that whole week would be a mess if they didn't do that one day or hours or whatever they do to help And I'm trying to think of what else. Can you think of anything else? Oh, hobbies, walks. No, I don't do walks.
Your body.
Those are my techniques, really. My technique is just sitting still and let God, the divine, kind of fill me up with whatever. And another source that I do have is I found this to be true the last maybe year or so, working with my webmaster, Tony, he's just the greatest teacher, and I know so much. But I find that when he does something creative and we talk about it, and then I'm looking at it, and I feel so good about that, it just takes me to another place. I don't have a care in the world. And that's the same thing with doing my magazine. This was a huge issue. It took me 3 days. And I started to feel a little, you start thinking, and then, nope, I got all these people waiting on me to do this. They're expecting all of this in by the 1st, which is today. And I stayed up till like 11 and 12, two nights in a row, because it's tedious work. You have to make sure that it's perfect. These are authors that are watching what you're doing, and you won't get any authors or publicists to give you stuff if you don't do it right. And but I find, like I said, working with Tony, because it's intellectual. It's that you're using your brain, and I like to do that. And it's funny because in school I really didn't. I just kind of blew by it, and it was not that important to me, which is a shame because who knows what I would have done. But I like to learn. That's another soothing thing for me. I can actually get like a high from it. Not a high, like a silly high, but it makes me feel so good that I'm doing something to be so productive. Does that make sense, Maya?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It gives you a euphoric feeling when you feel that you're learning and you're accomplishing something, and you realize that you're learning something that maybe is beyond even what a normal person would be challenged with in just running their own computer. You're learning things that are above and beyond that.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's true. And, another thing is that when he gives me a compliment, I mean, he calls me his IT assistant, but I do a good job. But I have to thank him for it because he has the ability to teach me, and he likes to teach me. Even as far as, like, he put in a different editor for my magazine because I had this table. This gentleman wrote something with some tables in it, across and down, and it was squared off all. And so I called him. I said, you have to team view this and show me how to do this because that's what I do is I admit that I can't do something and I go seek help to learn. I've always been that way, just like with my bookkeeping. It's the same thing. And he team views my computer and he says, and we're on the phone. He says, okay, watch this. Says, I want you to do it this way. And then he changed my editor. He says, now you'll be able to do a table. You'll be able to do anything that you want. And I love that. See, I felt really good yesterday because this is what happened yesterday. It was like, I had a piece of chocolate or something. it was just really perfect for me. And I think that's why my last 2 days have been so great. But again, one of the things that can really help if you want something that will comfort you is do something for somebody else under grace. Do it just to do it for them. That will give you the best feeling in the world. It really will, and I have no doubt about that because I do it a lot. And just even helping clients, one client couldn't log in. Well, you knew that yesterday, and I called her, and she couldn't believe that the owner would call her. And I got her in. We figured it out. But I like that. That made me feel really good. So it's kind of like you have this column of feel good, don't feel good. Feel good, So you got to try keep checking off the feel good. Yeah, that made me feel good today, yes. But you have to remember what it was. But I know some of the things that if I could just have hours of learning every day, I would never have a problem with anything because that just really stimulates my mind. And I think it probably stimulates all of me. It all comes together for me, and I really like doing that. But, I'm sitting here thinking of all these things, and you don't realize, Maya, how much that we do that comforts us.
Now, that's what I was going to ask you. Now, you say that it's exhilarating and it's challenging, but would you also then say that it's soothing? So after, let's say that you have a round with Tony where he shows you and you grasp that knowledge, afterwards,
right,
when you're done, you have a feeling of satisfaction and feeling,
yes,
calm and at ease, correct?
Yes,
so
and I always say to him, oh my, I said, I learned something else. And he said, well, you're easy to teach. See, because he said, you're open, and you ask the right questions. And, oh, yeah, after that, after I learned that, and I'm flying with it. Oh, yeah, it keeps me like that. So I'm just saying to myself about, you know, for myself, I need to be in a situation like that, not a classroom kind of thing. I love computers. I love software. You know, I'm still challenged with Firefox, and I want to blast at one. But I'm figuring it out because I go and seek things, you know, and I love learning things. And then they'll give you these little things. Well, do this, and if this doesn't work, go do this. It's like being in a classroom, and you do it, and it works. And you think, oh, wow, this is easy. I don't think I would want to be in a classroom situation. One-on-one, yeah, that would be great, like I am with Tony. You know, we laugh, and it's really, really great. He's that kind of gentleman that, or man, I should say, I call him a man, that I think he feels good at the same time showing somebody who's that eager to learn, and that's me. But he doesn't realize what it really, well, he knows what it does for me. I mean, in a sense he does, but it just keeps me high like that, just like, oh, I can do anything. Just come on, bring it on. But I think it's difficult for some people, and I'm home all the time, and I don't have a car, so you have to really have some kind of stimulation for yourself that keeps you motivated and feeling good, so you do all these little comfort things, but you've got to find out what they are. Some days it wouldn't matter to me if somebody handed me $1 million. It wouldn't make me feel better that day, that particular day. It wouldn't matter at all. And, you know, of course, money is nothing to me. It would be more like if I could do things for a lot of people, that would keep me comforted forever for the rest of my life, because I think that's my calling, is to just reach out. But you have to find it, what makes you feel good. Don't you think, Maya? I mean, it wasn't like that always. It's only been the last few years for me. But I think some people get it early on, don't they?
They do, and then you know, truthfully, I don't feel. Although, you know, during some situations with life, it could be beneficial. I don't really feel that all of us have that drive to really be that motivated and have the time and energy put forth the effort to help others in that big of a way. We might be more inclined, maybe we're financially a little bit wealthier, and so for us to send in a check to a local charity or even an animal shelter. So we have to find different ways that are, you know, I mean, if you can do that, yes, by all means, that I think that's an honorable, definitely an honorable way to give back. But for everyone, you know, that people that work 50 or 60 hours a week, it's probably not very likely that they're going to have the time. So now what would you say in talking about this, like, what would you say would be something that people can get into a habit of perhaps doing for to self-soothe or self-comfort, but in the long run, they may accomplish it for that very moment, but then in the long run, they may not be, you know,
relieving. I think probably walking out in the fresh air, looking around, smelling the air, watching everything that's around you, because I sit on my porch and I know I feel really good when I do that. If you can do something like that, of course, it depends upon where you live, but I think walking is a great source. it just makes you have to appreciate what's out there, and if you don't get out there, you're not going to appreciate it. Some people, like you said, they work a lot of hours and they come home and they're exhausted. I wonder with those people if they really need, or if they know that much about themselves that they need to find a way to comfort themselves when maybe they're a little out of sorts. Maybe they don't even have the time for that. I don't know. The weekends, because sometimes the weekends you're so busy if you have young children. You're busy doing all kinds of things with them. And I don't know. I don't know that that would apply. But if you're a stay-at-home mom and the kids are off and you feel, I want to do this for me, this always makes me feel good, go out and take that walk. Go out and take that walk. That's what I think. I mean, I think that's very soothing. And for me, I go sit outside and I watch for my hummingbirds to come, and they've been coming this year, and dragonflies. But, you know, like for you, Maya, where you live, where I live also, and Candy lives in South Carolina, there's a lot of different kinds of things that come to the lagoons and fly, and owls and bunnies and ducks. And we really live in a very beautiful place, and I'm sure she's nodding her head. But that's comforting for me. But if I couldn't do that, maybe even, you know, sometimes Diane next door, my friend, will go for walks. If I really wanted to, I could go walk with her, but it would have to be super early because it gets so, it's like 90 degrees by 9 o'clock here.
Yes.
So you have to really go early,
yes.
Or you would have to go in the evening, but then you have to worry about the bugs. So, yeah, but when it gets cooler, like September, October, even you can even walk in November and December here, I mean, all the time. I mean, we don't get snow to speak of. If we get any, it's dusting. But I would think walking would be really good for most people if they can, even if it's just around the block. They're doing something for themselves. And if they find that it makes them feel really good, do it again and again and again. Sometimes you just go out for a little bit and you get a better sense of what's going on, and your world is a little bit better. And we could probably list a whole bunch of comforting things, I think, that would help people. Not particularly like for me, what I do, I know. I mean, I thrive on learning, but that's me. Not everybody can do that either. Not everybody is as fortunate to be at home. And somebody told me, well, you should go join some kind of retired thing. I said, I'm not retired. I have a full-time job. You must be joking.
You need to join whatever, I can't think of what they call it, but it caters to, they have one that's for males, one that's for male and females, and then one that's for females, and it's for those that have their own niche and have more entrepreneurs or business owners.
Yeah, I could really help somebody start up a business, that's for sure. If they were going to do something online, that's an area that I have a lot of experience about. But, I mean, you know, I retired. I mean, I don't want to play cards. I mean, I think I'd be antsy, you know. My brain has to be stimulated, I think. But, somebody said, well, you should do that. You'll meet a lot of people. I said, but they're all retired. I'm not retired.
Yeah.
When I leave this earth, then I won't be retired. Then I will be retired. That's it. That's what I'm saying.
They
no
calls after 7 p.m. I'm in bed by 7:30. That wouldn't be quite your type.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no. Mm-mm, not at all. It would be difficult to keep up with me, probably. When I'm really whirling, it's tough to keep up with me. I mean, it's just... I multitask. I'm getting a third monitor. I've got all these ideas of things that I want to do, but like I said, I just found things that really comfort me and make me feel better. And then you forget about what was bothering you in the first place because you're so involved with what you're doing. I like to read, but I don't read as much as I should. A lot of people like to read. I sometimes think I want to start cross stitching again. But the sites, well, I could do it because I'd find time. If you just find a couple hours a day to do something for yourself, if you can, if you're home. Now, of course, there's people probably listening that are working and saying, well, I don't have time to do that. But yeah, it's just about finding something that you can do for yourself, too. not just everybody.
Right. It's all about self. And I know that we talked about food, and anything I believe in moderation. You know, I know that there's a lot of us out there that first of all struggle with body image, which is very different than true obesity. Obesity is a medical disease and condition. It's not, and I had written that blog, and I was so, my guides and my spirituality was so upset and just felt so, I don't even know
right.
how to really articulate it, but so upset that we were profiling, although, you know, we do have to in certain situations, but that we were making, jumping to conclusions and profiling so much people. And, you know, it really, I guess, hurts my heart is the best way. And I know you're empathic, so you feel it too. But,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
we see people, we go to eat.
I do in the store. I do all the time. And I look at them and I just want to go up and give them a hug and just try to encourage them.
We don't know the story. We don't know that they're not on steroids for a condition or more and more they're realizing I mean, there is going to be the person that has grown and has, you know, just like anything, it can be stretched out. So, I mean, that it is possible, but there's an awful lot that we don't know, and we should never make assumptions. So I think food, you know, the same with coffee, and, you know, they used to say caffeine was bad for you. Now they're saying that it's okay in moderation that, in fact, I just read this healthy diet, and I was very surprised, very, very surprised, because you know what I would have thought? I would have thought that the very best they were going to say you absolutely cannot have is caffeine, and they didn't.
Now, what was the first foot? What was the first thing?
Well, they really didn't say a lot. Basically, you want to stay from fast foods was the big thing.
But,
you know, and then we have, you know, things like nail biting, smoking. Those are all, caffeine and smoking have two things in common. And that is, they're one of the very few drugs, if you want to consider them a drug. A lot of people do, and a lot of people consider them grown from the ground with additives. But either way you consider them, they're the only two that fall under the heading of both calming and relaxing a substance, coffee and cigarettes I'm talking about. They can calm and relax, and at the same time, they can also give us a spurt of alertness. And they can, you know, wake us up and give us a little bit of burst, if you will, of, you know, not to the level of those. And I don't really want to name brand names, but those drinks that are the energy drink. But if you look at the label, they're not really true omegas and vitamins. They're basically just... There's so much caffeine in one of those cans.
Yeah, they're just stimulants is all they are. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, that's the perfect way of putting it. And you mentioned your Kozer. And sometimes to me, even just in the winter, having a fire, sitting in my chair, wrapping up in my favorite robe or blanket, Kozer or whatever, that is even enough to be able to soothe me and relax me and take me away from all the stress and worry and be able to say, and it's really important that all of us can say, you know, all right, we're not going to solve every single problem that is coming our way, even if we know about them and we're aware, we're not going to solve them all in this instant. So we may as well be able to, and I'm not saying to just procrastinate and just say, oh, well, who cares about that? I mean, there is an in-between, which is our state of grace that you always like to talk about.
Yep.
And that's to accept what is, but then be able to say, okay, well, you know, I can relax. I've made the phone calls, or I've taken the steps that I can take today. Tomorrow I know that I can handle this or this, but I can't obviously do it all over the next day or two. It's just impossible. So for me to sit here tonight and just, you know, and just a ball of tightness and worry and chaos and anxiety. So hopefully people are figuring ways and finding ways to release that stress and to do things that, you know, help them. I don't know what other ideas you have. I know you have a lot of ideas because it's something that you really believe in.
Yeah, yeah. I just got this thing in my head about cooking. a lot of women, even men, if they feel they're wired or whatever, I mean, that's a source of comfort is cooking, smelling that food that they've just, like, my husband used to do this. He used to make spaghetti sauce or his vegetable soup, just like his mother would do. And he would go to that pot 100 times if he was making spaghetti, and keep looking at it and skimming the grease off the top and all of that. And now that I think about it, maybe it was kind of comforting to him because it reminded him of when he was home as a little boy with his mom in the kitchen because he was the youngest and he was always around her when she was cooking. And I just thought of that. Cooking can be a comforting kind of thing for people, men and women. That, you know, that's true. But also the cigarettes and the coffee, you see people smoking and they look so relaxed, most of them. They're not jumpy. I've seen a lot of more relaxed people. And I often think to myself, how did you get started on that? How did you, I guess somebody introduced you when maybe when you were young or you wanted to just do it because everybody else was. I never did. But I would see my friends do it. But lately I've been watching people, and they it's kind of their way. It's comforting for them. It makes them feel good. You can look at it that way. I mean, that's what it does. My son used to smoke. My daughter-in-law used to smoke. And he said it was like you couldn't start your day without it because it just puts you in a certain place. But, of course, now they found out a lot about cigarettes and all that kind of stuff. And, yes, just they're just plain stimulants is what they are, and that's what they're always going to be. But there's a lot of nice things. Sometimes people like a bowl of chicken soup because it's comforting because they had it as a little kid. So, again, it's foods. Foods are very important. They're very comforting. I'm trying to think what I really like. I like peanut butter on toast. That's comforting with a glass of orange juice. Isn't that amazing, that combination? Tonight, that's probably what I'll have after the show. I have fresh orange juice, and I love orange juice, but I can't drink it every day, but I do. That just makes me feel really good. Strange, huh? We have to really think about the things that really help us, that comfort us, especially like if we're having a tough day and we gravitate to something and we don't even realize what we've done. You and I probably, and people that are like us, not that we're strange, but we probably figure it out because of the way we think and our belief system. For me, everything is about the higher up. Everything revolves around that. And so just if you can sit and be still, let all that goodness come into you, you're going to feel really good in about 10 or 15 minutes. It doesn't take very long. But sometimes I'll put my headphones on when I'm having my coffee in the morning, but I don't usually do that because Muji doesn't like it. He likes the attention, you know, that's his part. Okay, Mom, let's knock that off. You don't put that on. You got to pay attention to me. And so I really don't do that when I'm with him, but pets are a great comfort. Maya, you know that for sure. They really, really are.
Yes, they are.
You know, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I have a blanket on my couch that when the weather cools down, it's a heated one. My son and daughter-in-law got it for me. And I'll turn it on, and I just wrap it around me, and, oh, that just makes me feel so good. And I sit and watch my shows that I want or something that I've recorded. Sometimes watching your favorite movie, just the beginning of it makes you feel good. If you try that, it does for me. There are certain movies that I just really love because I love the actors or the actresses in them. And they don't have to be scary ones or, you know, with criminals and all that. They can just be nice, soothing, good stories. The first movie that comes to me that I saw that was really a good one was called The War Room. I think you saw that, Maya, didn't you? Did you see The War Room?
I did watch part of it and ended up, it was late and had fallen asleep. And the way our rental works, it's pretty expensive and they only give you 24 hours.
Yeah, so you have to watch it. Yeah, soothing movies like that, feel-good movies, those are... Sometimes if you just start to watch them, even though you're upset about something or whatever, turn the TV on, and if you have something that you've saved, if you've got like what I have with DirecTV, it's really good, or any of the channels that you have, you'll find something that takes your mind away, and all of a sudden you feel really comforted. Boy, that was really good. Okay, I feel better now. I can go do what I was going to do. But I think for everybody it's really different. I think we could make lists and lists and lists here, Maya, of things that, let's see what Candy's saying in there. She's typing away in there about what makes her feel good. She smudges and meditates, she said. I did see that. What else did she say? Oh, she was talking about obesity among children. But you know what? Talking about that, when I go to the grocery store, and it was this last time, I saw this, you know, heavy, heavy woman. And right behind her was a little girl, maybe 8, heavy, heavy little girl. And they walked away, and I turned, and I thought to myself, I know why that little girl is like she is. Because I bet you her mother does comfort foods. And now the little girl is going to do comfort foods. And because she was really big, you could see it, what was going to happen. And my heart went out to them, because you just want to go up to them, and, well, I do, and just say something that would make them feel good, like, gee, you look pretty today, or, which I have done many times, but people like that.
And it goes beyond looks. It's not just that society has programmed us that that's not attractive.
Right.
The problem is obesity leads to
it's serious. It can be very serious. Yes, exactly.
Joints. It's hard on our cardiovascular system. It leads to diabetes, which has its own set of complications. So obesity is, I mean, it's opening a can of worms as far as health. And one thing I was going to say before, when you were talking about all these different things, is oftentimes just our schedule alone, regardless of what's included in that, just knowing that we have a schedule and at 6 o'clock we get up and we do this and then we do that, and then sticking to that schedule, that's a way of comforting and soothing ourselves by sticking
to the
schedule.
It really is.
And it also is why some people have difficulty when there's opportunities to be had and there's positive changes waiting to be accepted, but they're struggling with how to make that transition. And it's just like what you said about your son and daughter-in-law saying that when you stop smoking, you kind of give up your best friend. I mean, you change the way, because life, when you're a smoker, everything about life is associated with the cigarette. The phone rings, you light a cigarette, you do this, you have a cigarette. You have to change all those triggers and find the pleasure. I mean, logically, we know the pleasure is good, plus you're healthy and you're saving tons of money. But psychologically, that it's a whole different situation. So the same is true when we're looking at making changes. So one thing that we can plan to get into a little more maybe next time is how changes and alterations from our, you know, from that pattern and that set schedule that is soothing and gives us a sense of well-being and a sense of everything's right can be a little bit challenging, but in the end, we just may find that it's actually positive and does us some good. I mean...
Right. Exactly. I think you have to really kind of almost self-analyze yourself. I'm just thinking back. I mean, I guess there are some pleasure foods. I really love grilled salmon, which I haven't had in almost a month, and it's kind of bothering me a little bit.
You love grilled sandwiches? You said?
Grilled salmon. I love grilled salmon. That makes me feel really good. When I know I'm going to have that, that just makes me feel good, really, really good all day long. But I think a lot of people tend to do, they get vices like cigarettes and other things, and because it makes them feel good. But I think there are alternatives to all of that. Well, we know there are. We do them. But sometimes, you know, just opening a book, planning a little long weekend if you can, if you're able to do that, going to a familiar place for a one-night stay, those are good things to do. There's just so many things that will comfort you. I'm only giving suggestions. I really don't know what everybody else does. But and then, you know, you have your memories. If you do things, like I have lots of them from when my husband was around and my son, we would go on these trips. I can still see these things in my head and walking the walk with them and feeling good about it. I can. But that's just something that, and sometimes I do it not enough, but I really don't like to go back too much because a lot of it was not good for me. But anyways, I had some lot of really good memories that I do go back and think about them and I'm sure I smile about them. That comforts me. But there's a lot of things. Some people like to take classes. That's comforting to them. They'll go take classes and learn something new. That will comfort you and stimulate your brain like you can't imagine, but you have to find something that kind of attracts you, learning how to play canasta or bridge or whatever. To me, that's not something that I would do for comfort. I ride my bike now. I almost forgot about that.
I know.
I try to do it.
That you didn't hear me about your stationary bike.
Yeah, I ride every other night. Now, because my last 2 days or 3 days were really horrendous, I'm giving my body a little break. Normally, I would ride tonight, but we have the show tonight. Sometimes I ride at 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night. That's no joke. I'm not wired. Something bothers me, and I'll just say, okay, get on your bike. I use a sweatshirt. I have these particular bike pants that I use that are padded in the butt. And I put my headphones on, and I pedal away, and I sweat. I perspire. I shouldn't say sweat. That doesn't sound really good. I perspire, and that's what I do intentionally.
Women glisten. Women glisten.
Women listen? Yeah.
No, women don't sweat. They glisten.
Oh, they glisten. Oh, is that what I'm doing? Oh, I didn't realize that. That's pretty nice. I got to remember that. But
yeah,
I make sure that I have an iPod. It's a Nano. It's called a Nano. And I've got all my Anita Baker, and I've got my everybody on there, my Motown and all that. And then I can tune into radio stations. I've got those set. And I just ride away. And sometimes I'll say, oh, well, we'll just do 15 minutes tonight, and I'll look, and it's a half hour. I mean, I go into a zone. I don't even realize what I'm doing. But it makes me feel very good. And then I know I'm really super tired to go to sleep, but I sleep very well now. But I do that every second, every other, or every second, or 2 days in between, I ride my bike. And it's very good for your and the endorphins.
Yeah,
it's good for your skin. Yeah, endorphins,
it
really, really helps. If I could do it every day, I used to do it every day. I used to ride an hour. I must have been nuts. I guess. I don't know. But I used to ride an hour.
You needed a lot of endorphins back then.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you're probably right. Where now I know when I need them. Like I said, I won't ride tonight. Sometimes I just like to turn on TV, have my little dinner, whatever I'm going to have. Like tonight I'll have something, and I've recorded some things, and I love my favorite shows, and I watch those, and to me that's comforting. That makes me feel good. Because I'm into that movie I'm watching, and I can watch the same movie over and over again, and believe it or not, I can cry in the same spots over and over again, like Fried Green Tomatoes. That is a killer movie for me. I can do that. I love Jessica Tandy to death. I mean, I know she's passed, but there's something about that little lady that I just think she could make anybody feel good. You just watch her. So that's a feel good. Those are feel good movies. Those are comforting movies. And I have lots of them that I do that with. But sometimes people just like to go to the movies, go to a comedy, find a movie that's funny. So I'm not into those kinds of movies. I like movies that you have to think, and that kind of just goes with me, I guess. I like thrillers. I like romance. I like that kind of stuff. But it's tough sometimes for people, and you just wish that everybody could listen to us, because they would sit there and they'd say, "Oh yeah, I never tried that. I should try that. Maybe that's going to make me feel good. Try it. It probably will." These are the things that we do. What do you do, Maya? I'm talking so much anyways, you know.
Well, I mean,
what do you do that
I
makes you feel good? Your comfort stuff.
I have different things that I feel that I do depending on what I need the comfort from. You know, like doing my nails and getting a pedicure. That's
there you
something
go.
That I really... I allow that to be a luxury, and it's something that I look forward to, and I don't do every week or every 2 weeks. Now, my nails I keep up with, but the pedicure, I try to make that something, you know, like a gift, you know, where you've been good. So for me, that's a stress reliever. It really takes away stress. And for me, shopping, that's something, again, it's not something I do very often, but not too long ago, maybe about a month ago or so, we went, and I really enjoyed it. I hadn't been in quite a long time. And probably two of the biggest things, and one has been very, very hard on me because I've just had some issues that have prevented me. And one is being outdoors and camping. This is the first summer that I have not gone camping in 25 or 30 years or longer. I go camping every year, and I love the outdoor. I love to fish.
Yep, I know that. You told me before. Yeah.
I mean, it's something that my soul just craves it, and I'm hoping that towards the fall I'll be able to do it. I have a favorite area that is only about 25 minutes from here, but that's probably my very, if I had to pick what is my most favorite thing, it would be being one with nature. And I always try to plan my trips, even if it's for the weekend, around a full moon.
Right.
Because I love, you know, which doesn't always work out because if it's cloudy, then, you know, so much for the full moon. But I enjoy the sun. I enjoy the smell. I enjoy, I don't enjoy the bugs, but just the camping, the food. I mean, just everything. It's just, you know, I mean, it's just a pleasurable, and it always has been. It's something I've loved. Some of the earliest memories that I have of my biological father, we had a pop-up, and I've always loved him, and my husband hates him because it never fails. After a time or two, it just never goes back down the way it's supposed to, and it just starts falling apart. But at any rate, some of the earliest memories I have is a pop-up going with another family that we called aunt and uncle, but they were friends. But anyways, those are probably the things that mean the most to me. And then I have, you know, other things. I used to be a big and avid reader, but I just find that my time is so limited that I choose to do other things when I have free time as opposed to reading. And it takes a lot to hold my interest. And I've yet to come across something. And I'm like you, movies have to really get me. And I'm real big on character. So I enjoy going to the movies or watching a movie from home. But the characters have to be believable. And even if the story itself is not, you know,
right,
science fiction, but the characters have to have depth. And I have to be able to see that it's something that makes sense, or I'm like, oh, I'm not even bothering with this. I will turn a movie.
You're
off.
Not mesmerized. Like if you go to a movie, usually you're so into watching it, you don't hear or see anything else. That's a really good movie that does that to you.
No, most.
But yeah, I know what you're saying. You're saying about character. Yeah, there has to be some substance there for you to really get into something like that. A lot of people just like to go to movies, all kinds.
Right,
but.
And there was a movie recently that got such big reviews, and I ended up watching it. Excuse me, we never got to go to the show, so I watched it through one of these online deals that I have, and I really, I was really disappointed. I did not think that they built the characters up and to where I could relate to them to the point where it made the movie worthwhile for me. So luckily I didn't purchase it because I would have watched it once or twice and that would have been it. But anyways, it's time to close out. I want
yes,
to send
it
my
is. I extended the time because
one.
I could tell we were talking and I didn't want to cut it off. But I think
we'll
we can
be back next week and we'll give more tips, less babbling and more tips and guidance and insight.
and insight. There you go. Yeah, that's for sure. So, okay, well, thank you, Stars Priestess Candy Ranson. You're in there. She was typing away and talking about, you know, coffee. And so scientists have proven that people who consume high amounts of caffeine from coffee are more intelligent and happier people. Oh, well, that's us. But
yeah,
laughter
yeah.
is really good. But I better stop talking here. Anyways, I love you, Maya Moon. Thank everybody for listening. And we have a lot of people that do listen after the show, like during the week, which is a wonderful thing. This Thursday, I do a 30-minute interview on this professional. It's a network for professionals, and I was invited to do it. So that Candy will be announcing that as soon as I send her all the details and all that. And go to Stars at starswithaZpsychics.com and go look at the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com. It's huge. I'm very proud of it. I look at it and I send the links to all the authors or the publicists. And I was invited to talk to this gentleman who did an article. He wrote a book on heaven, you know, that things can come to you if you just go at it the right way. I forget even what the name of the book is, but it's got heaven in it. And the publisher said, she said, I'd be happy. He would talk to you, no problem. And I'm thinking, wow, this could be something, right? But those are feel-good things for me. But anyways, do that and have a great week. Maya, I love you. We'll talk this week, of course.
Yeah,
Candy knows I love her. We always share that on Facebook and whatever. And her little Jazzy, I don't know if her little Jazzy is listening, maybe. She's got her little granddaughter with her. Isn't that the cutest name, Jazzy? Just like Bear. I love that name.
Yeah.
I just think that's the coolest
yeah.
name. And I know it's not his name, but it's a nickname. That's just so sweet. But anyways, everybody have a good week, and we'll continue this on with comforting part two, our self-comforting part two next week. And that's it for tonight. And I'm Starscast, also known as Natalie, Miss Natalie, some people call me. And we'll see everybody next week at 8 o'clock. And that's it for tonight. Bye-bye.